1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13 and just going down to the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting, I will read, you just follow along in your Bibles. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Speak to our hearts today. Father, I pray as we look at the scriptures, as we go through this particular topic today, that you would speak to us and bless us, Lord. It is so good to know that the promises in your word about you coming back here one of these days soon is such a blessing. We have so much, as a Christian, we have so much to look forward to. We look forward to spending eternity with you, Lord Jesus, in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for, again, the promises. And thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. And thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for making salvation possible to the lost. If there's anybody here today that's not saved, we pray for their salvation today, that your Holy Spirit, through the message, would speak to hearts and souls. And Father, we pray that there may be some backslidden Christians in the room or somebody listening online. I don't know. Lord, you know our hearts. So I can only look upon the outward appearance, but Lord, you look deep down into our hearts, and you know exactly where we stand with you today, spiritually. So Lord, speak to our hearts now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The who, the what, and the when of the second coming of Christ. I just read to you a very popular, very familiar passage of Scripture that so often we use. We talk about this catching away in verse 17. Some people refer to it as the rapture. Most Christians refer to it as that. I know the word is not in the Bible, the word rapture. Some people get hung up on that as well. The word's not in the Bible, and so we can't use that word ever. Well, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible either, and yet we still refer to the Trinity. And the word Bible is nowhere found in the Bible, but we still refer to the Bible. So let's not get so sidetracked on issues that it distracts and detours us from the truth. I will refer to this happening as the rapture through the message, and you may like it, you may not like it, but I'm just going to refer to it because so often we do, or catching away. We believe that Jesus is coming back again soon. The problem is we don't, it's not a problem, I mean, it's an issue with us. We don't know exactly when he's coming back. We all think he's coming back in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? We think he's coming back in our lifetime. We don't know for sure. He may, and he may not. All of the writers of the New Testament thought that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And that's 2,000 years ago. So, is it possible the Lord is coming back in our lifetime? Absolutely. Do I believe he's coming back in my lifetime? Yes. I would hope that he's coming back in my lifetime. But I don't know for sure. Either way, I'm in a win-win situation. I'm saved. And so even if I die before the Lord comes back, I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If the Lord decides to come back in my lifetime, I'll win at that. I'll go and, you know, I'll go by the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. We say that often. But that is true. I mean, but as a Christian, as a born-again child of God, we're in a win-win situation. No matter what happens to us, someday we're going to go to heaven. Someday we're going to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you some important things to think about as we're going through this. There's a lot of misunderstanding and taking different scriptures out of context to try to prove certain things. So I want you to think about this. This is an important note. The Gospels were primarily written with the Jewish nation of Israel as the focus. Jesus Christ preached to the Jews primarily throughout his entire
Amen.
Ministry.
Amen.
Okay? And all the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was writing primarily to the Jewish nation of Israel. And so the scriptures that we talk about concerning the coming of Jesus Christ mostly, listen to me carefully, mostly deals with the tribulation period and his second coming at the end of the tribulation period to set up his millennial 1,000-year reign on this earth that Jesus is going to do. So that primarily, the scriptures that you read, and we're going to look at those later on, some of those later on, but they're dealing primarily with the tribulation period. Some preachers and some Christians take some of those verses out of those passages of scripture and they try to apply them to the church and try to apply them to a rapture or some kind of a catching away. And the timing or the sequence of events gets misconstrued when you try to do that. You got to be so careful when you're dealing with scripture. Who's it talking to? What's the event talking about? And so that's what I see studying the Bible. And then Paul, the apostle, comes along. He gets saved there in Damascus, and he becomes a great preacher of Jesus Christ, becomes a great missionary, and he writes most of the New Testament. 14 books of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, his primary ministry was to the local church, to the Christian, Jew or Gentile, right? Again, remember, the Gospels was primarily to the Jew. But Paul is now writing to Jew and Gentile, and some of his churches that he wrote to was primarily Gentile, not Jewish. And so Paul, when he deals with the second coming of Christ, he's dealing more with a pre-tribulation rapture than the Gospels are dealing with.
Amen.
Now, if you get that in your brain, you get that in your head, you'll be able to separate the scriptures out a little bit more. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So by having that mental thought or mental picture, you won't get messed up on your eschatology when it comes to certain things taking place in the near future.
Amen.
All right, just something I wanted to throw out there to you. The important part of the message is, listen, I am no expert on prophecy. There are some preachers that's all they study. I don't put all of my eggs, as they say, in one basket. I am not a prophecy preacher. I am not a prophecy. I'm a student because I'm always trying to learn something. But that is not my forte. You know what my forte is? The Bible.
Amen.
And there's a whole lot of stuff in that Bible that is not prophetic or dealing with prophecy or eschatology. It's a big fancy word for future happenings of the Lord. So I take the whole Bible and I try to cover as much as I can throughout the entire Bible. And so I am no expert on prophecy. People ask me questions a lot, and I say, I don't know. I guess we'll find out here in the near future. I just try to be honest. I want people to understand that I haven't got it all figured out yet. But here's one thing I want to leave with you today. We're not done yet, so don't get too excited. If you don't get anything out of this message, here's one thing I want you to get out of the message. Two words. Be prepared. Okay? Be prepared. Or you can use two other words, Bible words. Be ready. Be ready. All right? If that's all you get out of the whole message, that's good enough. Now, I'm not saying shut me down for the rest of the service and sit there and think about everything else you're going to do later and all the food you're going to eat and the place you're going to go. No. Listen to the message, but that is the thrust of the message, is to be ready and be prepared. I'll just throw a couple verses out at you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So Matthew, again, makes it very clear. Therefore, be ye also ready. Because you don't know when the Lord's coming back. So you got to get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 36 of that same chapter, Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Luke chapter 12 and verse 40 says these words, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Sometimes we look at all of the things that are going on in the world and we sit back and we say, well, the Lord's got to be coming really, really soon. Well, why do you say that? Well, look at all of the things going on in the world. Well, okay, there is a whole lot of not so nice things going on in the world. We understand it. But there's always been times like this. Paul the Apostle lived in a time like this. I'm not saying the Lord can't come back, but the Bible says when you think not, when you're thinking about other things and, you know, life seems to be fairly decent and things are going on okay, that's when you got to really take note and be watching.
Right.
We don't know when the Lord's coming back. Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. You just don't know. What time of day is the Lord coming? I don't know. He could come at any time. He could come any time during the day. He could come any day of the week. He could come any time during the year. I know recently we've had some people try to date the Lord's coming, and they set a date this past September, but I'm still here and you're still here and we're all still here, so the Lord didn't come when they thought He was coming back. Whatever that date, September 25th or 26th or something. Some people do that. We're not right on doing things like that.
Right.
Setting dates when we think the Lord... Because, you know what? You and I are human. Well, I've studied the Scriptures and I've gone through all the numerology and I've run my computer programs and here's the date that the computer says the Lord's coming back. Well, that's nice. That's when you think the Lord's coming back. But the Lord is not bound to your computer.
Amen.
He's not bound by your time frame. He has His own calendar, and He knows exactly when He's coming back, and it's not bound by our calendar.
Amen.
Our calendar is all messed up. So we don't know exactly when the Lord's coming back. I'm going to talk about that later. But I do know, I'll share some things with you about when I do think He might be coming back. Because the Bible tells us. But I don't have any dates. I don't even have a day of the week. I don't have a month. And you know what? I don't have a year. But the Bible gives us some... The Bible tells us when He's coming back. But there's no date set up. So I'll just throw that out. I'm going to let you know that. I know you're thinking, Pastor's going to set a date. No, Pastor's not setting any date. I have no clue when the Lord's coming back. But the Bible gives us some things to look for.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get going here. First of all, the who of the second coming. The who of the second coming, or the who of the rapture. You can put any word in there you want. The Bible tells us there, and we're right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at it again. It says in verse 14, this is very important. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So who's bringing back the souls that have already died? What? No, what's that verse say? Say it. God. Okay, God is bringing, right? Isn't that what it says?
Yep.
Those that have fallen asleep, that means they've died. You know, when you die, when I die, if we die someday, our souls go directly to heaven, if we're saved. Okay, I'm saved. I know exactly where I'm going. If you're not saved, your soul directly goes immediately to hell. There's only two places. No place in between. Heaven for the saved, hell for the lost. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. Whether you like that or not, that's what the Bible teaches. And there's no in-between place. I don't believe in purgatory. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell because that's all the Bible mentions. And so the saved will go. But this, something happens to the body when you die. What happens to the body when you die? If you're cremated, you're cremated. Your body is just ashes. Your body is placed into a coffin. You're put into the ground. And your body eventually will what?
Decay
and disintegrate into practically a bunch of dust. We came from dust. We're going back to dust. Okay? So, we understand that. But the soul goes to heaven. Saved souls go to heaven. So upon the rapture, or the catching away of what Paul is talking about here, the Lord God in verse 14, he's bringing back all the souls of the saved people that have died already. And there's going to be a great reunion between the soul and the body. You say, I don't want this old body. You ain't getting this old body. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're getting a new one. Hallelujah. Man, I'm looking forward to the new body, aren't you? Yeah. No more aches, no more pains. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we're coming right back to 1 Thessalonians 4, so try not to lose your place there. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what?
Changed.
In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible makes it clear that when you and I die in this life, and our bodies are placed into the tomb or into a grave or however you want, or if the body is even cremated. Now, I personally believe that Christians should have a regular burial by body. I've preached a whole series of messages on that one time. I have a whole Bible study on that. I'm not against people that do cremation or use cremation. Not against that at all. God can take those ashes and make a new body out of those ashes, can't he? Amen? So that has, I have no problem with that. I just think, personally, I believe that you see more burials in the Bible than you do cremations or burnings. Jesus himself was buried. Lazarus was buried. Everybody that died was buried for the most part. So I look at that. I look at the overall picture of the entire scriptures, and that's where I lean to. Somebody came up and asked me, well, preacher, what do you think? Cremation or burial? I'm going to say burial. You might have your reasons for cremation, and that's fine. You know how many funerals I've done of people that have been cremated? I don't refuse to do a funeral for somebody that's been cremated. I just believe that the scriptures make it pretty clear that burial is the option that I personally would take. Both my wife and I have said, we die, we want to be buried. Remember that, church. Okay? If it comes in your future, you just want to make sure. All right, so getting back to the scriptures, go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those that have died previously, will God, that's God in verse 14, will God bring with him. And so the souls are coming back. God is bringing those souls back, and there's going to be a great reunion. When the souls are there in the clouds, the Bible talks about everybody coming back in the clouds, Jesus coming back in the air. There's going to be this amazing transformation that takes place. The dead bodies are going to arise out of the ground or wherever they are and be reunited with a brand new body with their soul. This is when we're getting our new bodies. We're not getting them until this particular thing. But look at verse 16. For the Lord himself. Wait a minute, I thought it just said in verse 14 that God is bringing these bodies back. Did it say God?
Yeah.
Verse 14. But then in verse 16 it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, if God is bringing these back in verse 14 and Christ is found in verse 16, that tells me that Jesus Christ is God. You see the correlation there? Isn't that good how the scriptures do that? We believe that anyway. That Jesus Christ is God. So God is there mentioned in verse 14. Christ is mentioned in verse 16. There are no contradictions in the scripture. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty.
Amen.
So the who of the second coming, it all has to do with Jesus Christ. He dictates this whole thing that we see. In verse 13, just go back, I already read it, I'm not going to read it again, but we see there that it is a pronounced gathering. It is a pronounced thing. It's announced, and we know that it's going to happen. When is that going to happen? We don't know. There's been a lot of people that have claimed that the Lord has already come back. Those are false teachings, and we're going to cover them a little later. Probably not today, probably tonight. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. But it is a pronounced thing, verse 13. Paul is saying, he's declaring it, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, as you have, as others which have no hope. So, first of all, we see there, it's Jesus himself is coming. It's pronounced. Number two, it's punctual, verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring. It's a punctual thing. It's going to happen when God wants it to happen. Amen. Not if you think you've got a date set aside. Lord, I think it's this date. October 30th. Okay, wonderful. It won't be October 30th. Pastor Overton used to say that all the time. If somebody sets a date and almost mark it down, you can guarantee that it's not going to be on that date. That some man or some person established as the coming of the Lord. It will not be on that date. It'll be punctual. Number three, it's going to be personal. Verse 16 again. For the Lord himself. You know, it's so neat. Now, he's bringing with him the archangel. You know who the archangel is? Michael's the archangel. He's bringing with him a whole host of heaven. He's bringing the archangel Michael, which is going to make the shout or going to do the announcement there. Because the Bible talks about heaven with a shout with the voice of the archangel. And so the archangel is going to be actually announcing somehow. I don't know what that is, what that entails, but this shout is going to be something that the archangel is going to do. He may announce that Jesus Christ is here. He may be that we don't know, but we know there's going to be a shout. The shout is with the voice of the archangel. And so the Lord himself is coming back. He's bringing Michael, yes, and he's bringing all of the souls that have died before him with him, or before with him. So this whole host of heaven is coming back. It's going to be an amazing scene that we've never seen anything like this before. But the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend. He's not sitting up there on his throne saying, okay, Michael, Gabriel, guys, go and get him. No, he's saying, I'm going to bed. I'm going to go to bed. The Father, God the Father, sends His Son back to get all of us out of here that have been saved. And so it's a personal gathering. Number four, it's a powerful gathering, verses 16 and 17. We've never experienced anything like this. There's going to be the shout of Michael the archangel, and then there's going to be that trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's so powerful that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's so powerful, as I just explained a few minutes ago, those bodies that have been in the grave for thousands of years are going to come up out of those graves being completely remade. Brand new bodies. With nothing wrong with the body at all.
Amen.
We are not like that today. We have things wrong with our bodies today. But this, we get the brand new body. It's like that brand new vehicle just coming off the assembly line. And as soon as it comes off the assembly line, it starts to rot, rust, and run down. Yeah, it's good news. Go buy yourself a new vehicle. But all kinds of things can happen to that new vehicle over time. They will. Most new vehicles back in the 60s, Kathy and I bought a brand new Mustang back in 1974. Mustang. 4-speed on the floor. Yeah. That was a nice little car. And then she wrecked it. She almost lost her life, but God was with her.
Amen.
Driving down 690, and the tire blew, and the car literally went across the median into the other oncoming lane of traffic, and she was unscathed completely. God was good.
Amen.
But she ruined my Mustang. The Mustang went to a junk pile somewhere, and it's been gone ever since. Things like that happen. But this new body we're getting, it's going to last for all eternity. Won't have to take blood pressure medicine. Won't have to take all the medications that you're on now. You'll be medication free when you get to heaven. Wouldn't that be good? No more medications. The canes, you'll leave your cane and your crutches and your wheelchairs right here. You won't need them in heaven. Praise God for that. I won't need my glasses in heaven. Thank the Lord for that. No more glasses. I'll be able to see clearly. Right now, you're just a blur. A bunch of little blobs out there sitting there. I kind of need them. But it's a powerful event that's going to take place. It's supernatural. Nothing like this has really taken place in this widespread of something that's happened like this. But look at verse 18. Not only is it pronounced and punctual and personal and powerful, it's peaceful. Amen. Look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The words that I just read to you here, as Paul is saying, he says, this brings comfort to a soul. Because you have this prophecy, this plan for the future that you and I can look at as saying, boy, this is going to be really, really good. This ought to put a smile on your face. This ought to make you think, wow, God is so good to us. He's not just going to let our bodies continue to decay. And listen, when you die, your souls just don't go to sleep, as some religions, some cults teach. That's not what happens. Not according to the Bible. Again, your soul is alive for all eternity. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell, one or the other. And what you do with Jesus Christ in this lifetime determines which way that you go and where you go when you die. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior right now. When you die someday in the future, and you may have a long time on this planet yet, young people in this room. I don't have as much time as you, probably. But we know where we're going to spend eternity. Or if the Lord does come back here in the next few months, weeks, hours, or years, many of us will go, many of us will hear the shout of the archangel, and many of us will hear the trump of God. Some people wonder, well, what is the trump of God? Let me show you what the trump of God is. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. It's not Donald Trump. Some people thought that too. I had preachers come, hey, Donald Trump's going to win re-election, get another 8 years, and as soon as he's done, that's it, we're going. Okay, well, something happened a couple years ago where he didn't get re-elected. Well, he got re-elected, it was just a sham, and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Whatever. But anyway, we're not talking about Donald Trump. I do not believe that just because his name is Donald Trump, last name's Trump, this is not the last Trump we're talking about.
Amen.
As far as I know. Here's the trump of God. That, biblically, this is the trump of God. Look at this. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Right? Verse 11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Who's that talking about there? You got to read the verses prior to that. Who's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? Tell them quickly. Jesus Christ. Let's get the name right. Jesus Christ. Yes, he's God, but it's Jesus Christ. This whole thing, this scene here is Christ, Jesus himself. The Bible says that he's the trump. That voice that John the apostle, as he was going through this and witnessing this, that voice behind him was a great voice as of a trumpet. But then we know that the trumpet was saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52 again. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm all the way to the book of Acts. Why did I do that? All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, just Zoom over to Exodus chapter 19. Let me show you something else here. Exodus chapter 19. The question that some people have asked, well, what is this? What's this trump of God? What's this trumpet that we hear about? Is it an actual trumpet? Is it the angels blowing the trumpet? Is it one of the seven angels in the book of Revelation that actually they blow a trumpet for those plagues and those things? Or what is that? Well, what I believe the trump of God is in this particular situation, it's none other than Jesus Christ. None other than God Himself. None other than Jehovah God. That's who this trumpet is talking about there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in those verses. Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 16. Exodus 19 and 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Well, what's going on? This is on Mount Sinai when God is speaking to Moses, and Moses is getting the Ten Commandments. So who's talking on the mount? It's God, but it's also Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is on that mountain.
Amen.
If you believe that Jesus is God, that's who's on the mountain. Jehovah, Jesus Christ. And when He speaks on that mountain, it sounds like a trumpet. Right? Look at Exodus 20, verse 18. Exodus 20, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. God had just given Moses the Ten Commandments. And they still keep hearing a trumpet. I know what they're hearing. They're hearing God speak to Moses. They're hearing God speak from that mountaintop as God gave them, told them, and gave them the instructions that they needed. So the trump of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe, is Jesus Christ Himself. As He comes back, Michael the archangel gives the announcement, but Jesus Christ Himself is the trump of God. He's given it out. And then the dead in Christ rise first. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. The dead in Christ rise first. 27 verse 50. 53. Something strange happened there just outside of Jerusalem. After the resurrection. Here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, and when Jesus had cried, again, with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Period. That's it. What in the world is going on here? Jesus Christ rises from the dead. There's a great earthquake at His crucifixion, and there's an earthquake at His resurrection. Right? Well, here at His resurrection, when He is rising from the dead, something else is going on here. It's only mentioned here. It's not mentioned really anywhere else. But the graves are opening up, and people, saints, that same believers in Jesus Christ, in God, they're coming out of the graves. They're walking around Jerusalem. What do you think they're doing? I think they're preaching the gospel. I think they're saying, hey, I'm back here to tell you who God is. I'm back here to tell you who Jesus Christ is. That is a very possible happening that will take place just before Jesus comes back again.
Amen.
Dead in Christ are going to rise. Is it going to be just like that? Who's saying it's not?
Amen.
Amen? I believe it can be very possible. It could be very possible that all of a sudden you're hearing about people that died a long time ago and they're walking around talking and preaching the gospel and saying, hey, you better get ready. Jesus is coming back here real, real soon. Isn't that a possibility?
Yeah.
If it happened once outside of Jerusalem and they're going into the city and they're talking to people and we see that this took place at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why couldn't it take place again? I know the Bible just says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive. We go from verse 16 to verse 17, but there's nothing saying that there could be something going on between verses 16 and 17 where the dead in Christ are really, they're not just risen to go to heaven. But God allowed them to come back from the dead to help preach the gospel and get people ready for His second coming. We know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We believe that right after the rapture, the great tribulation period of 7 years takes place. It's going to be the worst time period on the face of the planet ever in the history of man. And we serve a God of love. We serve a God that does not want people to go through that. And I believe He's going to use every means possible to attempt to get as many people saved before He literally comes back, between that verse 16 and verse 17, to get people saved than He's ever done before. And my father and mother might be walking around. Kathy's parents might be walking around and declaring the gospel. You might know people that have died. You might have a loved one that have died, and all of a sudden they're back telling you about these things. It's like, what an amazing... That would completely bring about a revival that we have never witnessed before in the history of man. I'm just saying, who's saying that it's not possible?
Amen.
That's all I'm saying. Is it possible?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's possible. I'm not saying it's going to take place just like that. I'm just saying it happened once before and the scriptures could have happened again. Does God really want a secret rapture take place where nobody knows what's going on? Well, I know the lost won't understand it, but saved people will understand it.
Amen.
Amen. I got to end it there. You'll have to come back tonight to get the what of the second coming and the when of the second coming. Listen, what did I say as we got started? What's the main thing I want you to get from this? What? Two words, what?
Be
prepared, be ready. Be prepared, be ready. This thing, that this happening that I just talked about and tried to describe the best that I can, and no human being can describe everything in perfect detail, it is going to happen in the future one of these days soon. We just don't know when that is. It may happen today. It may happen next week. It may happen. You might have a lot of time left on the planet, some of you younger people. Teenagers here. You might have another 80 years. I am almost to 70. Less than a year and a half, I'm going to hit the 70 years. And hopefully, by the strength of God, I might hit 40. That's what the Bible talks about. 70 years or 80 years. But I know that my days are limited here. And every day, it's one day less. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? But as a Christian, I don't have a thing to worry about.
Amen.
Nothing to worry about. And if you're saved, you have nothing to worry about either.
That's right.
Please be ready for this incredible event that's going to take place in the near future, the second coming of Christ. Get saved if you're not saved. And secondly, as a Christian, get serving if you're not serving. Let's not be selfish in our lives. Let's get busy for the Lord, because we got a lot of work to do.
Amen.
We got a lot of tracts to pass out. We have people to invite to church. We have people to witness to and see saved. Your life tells a lot the way you're living. The words you use and your language, places you go and the things you do, tells a lot to a world that's lost and dying. Please get ready if you're not ready. By getting saved. First and foremost. That's the most important. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Admit the fact that you're a sinner. Believe upon Jesus Christ. Call upon Him and He'll save you. A, B, C. Admit, believe, and call. That's what you need to do. If you haven't done that yet. If you're lost and you don't know, if you want somebody to talk with you, we'll be glad. All you have to do is come forward. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be saved. If you're a lady that and you're not saved, one of our ladies will take and just talk with you, show you from the scriptures how you can be saved. If you're a gentleman and you don't know Christ as your Savior, one of our guys will do the same thing. We just want you to be prepared.
Amen.
We want you to be ready. And Christian, let's get busy for the Lord. This is not a holiday all the time. This is not vacation all the time. We've got work to do. And I think our days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter all the time. Father, please, I just pray that you'd bless the invitation. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts right now. You know who's saved. You know who isn't. If there is somebody here that's not, I don't know, Lord. But you know. And so I pray the Holy Spirit would work and move upon that heart and soul, upon that life. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us as Christians for the need to get serious for you and to get serving you and doing everything we can to try to see the lost saved and try to just bring honor and glory to you. Lord, again, speak to our hearts now during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Music will play. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you just want to come and pray, you can come and pray.